All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Welcome to American Vindicta. I want to start off by saying thank you to everyone who has sent your thoughts and your well wishes and your prayers for my father. I put an announcement out on YouTube saying that my father is dealing with dementia. He's 81 years old. He's one of the strongest men I've ever known in my life. And to see him at a frail and weakened state saddens me and hurts me. But I'm there for him, even though the times can be trying. I'm sure there are some of you out there who've dealt with a similar circumstance with a loved one. You know as well as I do how hard this is. But we shall persevere. We shall endure. We shall move forward. Left foot, right foot, repeat. Death will come for us all, but let us not lose our heads, our sanity, or our salvation knowing that fact. I would like to start with Psalm 51, verses 1 through 12. Now I'm reading from the ESV. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in the truth, the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. I love that part of that verse. Restore me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me a willing spirit. To take upon the mantle of being a willing spirit for God, to be someone who is willing to give themselves over for his glory, for spreading the message, the good news. It can be trying. It will be trying. It will be hard. But rejoice, because God is our Lord. Now, I don't mean to sound somber today. Had a heck of a weekend. But I am in good spirits. I'm in a good mood, and I want to talk about some of the horrible things that are going on around the world right now. For starters, thank you to everyone who has been donating to the American Vindicta Show to help keep us running, keeping the lights on, keeping the bills paid. This show has right now one sponsor, so if there's anyone out there who wants to help sponsor the show, please contact me at American Vindicta Show www.thefaithfulmovement.com. There will be links in the description on these videos. The way this show is done, it's on YouTube, it's on Rumble, and it's also on gsradio.net and then other venues as well. Friends, it won't be long until we're not going to be allowed to speak the way we do to each other on social media, on the internet. One day, whatever it is that's considered itself to be the ruler of this world, obviously the devil and his henchmen, will eventually take over, and we're not going to have the ability to use the internet anymore. So with that in mind, bear witness every day that you can to someone, if possible, our Lord Jesus. Right now, with all the turmoil going on in the news, and it's disheartening, a lot of bantering going back and forth because, hey, politics is gearing back up, right? Well, I just want to say this. You need to pay attention to politics, but you don't need to be absorbed into it. Be careful for those of you who live along party lines, Republican and Democrat. We need to do like the master said and treat each other with respect and with love. Now, that doesn't mean to walk outside and get pummeled by your neighbor, or allow yourself to be drawn into a conflict. Use your brain. But there are three other things that I want to talk to you about. This is all scripture. We're going to be reading from Romans 12. Starting with a living sacrifice. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That's Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. Today I was on Twitter. I really don't like Twitter, but I decided to enter the fray. And I'll tell you this much. There's a lot of news being passed on Twitter that's not being spoken about on mainstream media. So in some ways, some of my friends and detractors were right that Twitter is a good place to gain intelligence from. But at the same time, it's a horrible, corrupting place. So have a care. Be cautious if you're on these social media platforms. Remember, every keystroke you make is being remembered by an artificial intelligence that is designed by the intelligence community to track you and to put you in a box. So, with that being said, have a care what you say on the internet. But I watched something very grotesque today. Actually, quite a few things. Recently, I saw a high schooler, a black teenager, I don't know the school, I don't know his name, I don't really care anymore. But I saw a black teenager run his teacher down in school. It was captured by the school video. It's on Twitter. And he mercilessly beat his teacher almost to death because she took away his Nintendo Game Boy. The love for many is waxing cold, friends. Today, you are going to see quite a pattern with this. And I'll be showing the videos of what I can show. So if you're listening to me on the radio side and you want to see the videos, then go over to the YouTube side or Rumble, and you'll see them there. I can only show certain parts. But then again, I saw something else grotesque. Oh, by the way, with that teenager, 6'6", 270 pounds, a male versus a woman. And sure, he's a kid. But it's incredible the strength of the human body, even at that age. I was incredibly strong at that age. I was into powerlifting and state qualified and all that good stuff. But there's something to be known about the physiology of a man versus a woman, even in the teenager stage. You can't compete with it. Not in a physical, violent form. And people were consoling this child after he was beat. I think he struck her in the head 15 times. Now, in law enforcement, you got to be tricky here. But in law enforcement, there's a point in time where this is considered deadly force. When you land blow after blow to somebody's face, to their head, and you have an unresponsive victim, either because they're unconscious or because they're disabled because of the attack, whatever, if they are not physically blocking the punches, if they're not physically trying to scramble, to maneuver, to deflect the blows, well, you don't know when that next blow will be the lethal blow. Now, of course, if law enforcement was there, they would probably tackle the kid and taser him and all this stuff. But I will say this, if you watch the video, the way this this teenager threw his teacher to the ground, picked her up, guys, like a pillow, and flung her head down. She was knocked out. And then 15 strikes to the face. You know, they don't allow that in UFC, but it was allowed at this school. There were grown-ups walking by. Eventually, there was a couple men came by, and they barely did anything. They kind of got the kid off and then were attending to the woman, the teacher, while the kid was still striking her with his foot. If you want my... I'll give you two things. I'll give you my professional opinion, and I'll give you my honest opinion. My professional opinion, that kid should go to jail. 100%, without a doubt, that was potentially deadly force, obviously aggravated assault. He better catch a felony. Two, my personal opinion. Is that kid should have caught as many blows from those grown men standing around him as he gave to the unresponsive woman that he brutally beat for taking away his toy. But it wasn't given. And because it wasn't given, it doesn't matter if the kid's black or white or Asian or Latino. It doesn't matter what race, what creed. When you allow criminality, it will spread like a plague. Others will see that you do nothing about it. Look what's going on right now in Kansas City, the deadliest city in America. I watched this morning, once again, on Twitter. I watched a man take about a minute to load his magazine in broad daylight in the morning while on the side of a street, standing over the top of a homeless man who obviously these two were conversing. The homeless man had both hands up. The assailant was a black male, 20s, 30s. And after about a minute, minute and a half, maybe, of people, I guess, filming from a window, saying, oh my God, he's going to shoot him. He's just loading his gun. No one's doing anything about it. He shoots this guy. And it was a black male who shot a white male, a defenseless man with his hands up. Now, are we going to hear hands up, don't shoot? Are we going to see buildings being burned down and White Lives Matter painted all over Washington, D.C.? What about for the teacher who was not black, but beaten by a black man? This has nothing to do with race, though some of you may be thinking that right now. What this has to do is with scripture. We are seeing this strange dichotomy of things happening right now with ethnos versus ethnos and kingdom versus kingdom. For many of you who don't understand, ethnicity versus ethnicity can mean very many different things, but don't think it won't mean a racial war. In South Africa, you've been having that. You can also have two different kinds of people within their own, I guess you could say, spectrum, their own area, two different ethnicities living side by side each other. That's an ethnic war. America, we are allowing these events to happen because, and I'm going to offend a few of you when I say this, but men, you have failed. We men have failed at our job with policing our children and with policing the streets. Because there's a lack of men within the homes of black children and all of the different problems that are going on there, you know, single mom, probably having to work multiple jobs or whatever other societal problems are going on, living in a rough neighborhood, possibly not having any good parental advisors, not having anyone to look up to watch out for. Because of these issues, we are raising man children who they don't know better anymore. They don't know that violence is not okay. They don't know manners, for one thing. I've dealt with plenty of these kids within these last couple generations, like zero manners. And when you fail as a parent, I have to succeed as a law enforcement officer. Now, obviously, I'm no longer a law enforcement officer anymore. But there are plenty of men who look just like me, dressed just like me right now, who are going to have to deal with a child who did not have an adult to teach them the proper way of living. And our society in America is breaking down more and more every day because we've chosen to become soft, willing, stupid participants in a Luciferian global order. There, I said it. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, when you started letting your little boy dress like a little girl, you failed as a person. You failed as a parent, as a man, as a woman, but you failed completely as a person because you know right and wrong. And you choose to walk the path of wrong, though you know right. And you may not understand this, but many of you, one of these days, are going to be quite surprised when we are all standing at the judgment seat of Christ. All of us. No one escapes it. You don't get to be skipped in line and get tossed in the fire. You will have to account for your sins. So for the teachers, the politicians, the Antifa moms and dads that we got to throw a little bit of CS gas at in Portland and other cities, all you lefty loonies, all you drunks and adulterers, All you wizards and witches, all you people that the Bible says don't be like these examples. You will all account for what you've done. But we can at least, as a civil society, prevent the sins of the fathers from moving down to the sons and to the daughters by being better parents. So here's my challenge to you. Be a better parent so I don't have to be a better cop later. It's because eventually at some point in time in a child's life, somebody failed them. Now, that may not always be the problem of the parent. But if you know your kid's into drugs and you don't move them out of the school, well, that's your fault. If you know the kid is staying up late at night, drinking and partying, and you do nothing about it, well, that's your fault. If you stay up late at night and party and drink and do drugs with your kids, that's your fault. And all you're doing is raising the next generation of criminals. So, do us all a favor. Act accordingly. By that, I mean this. Romans 12, verses 3 to 8. We're going to talk about the gifts of grace. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and in the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our exhortation, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Romans 12, 3 to 8. It is a privilege to be a parent. A privilege. So when we fail our children, we fail God, because God assigned us the duty to be a parent. Do you not think being a parent, having the ability to raise a child in a godly fashion, is not a gift, is not a grace that has been given to you? So once again, I ask you, raise your child correctly. Watch your child diligently. Do not let your child be a little gangster. Don't let your child start acting like some little, I don't know how you would say it, gangster wannabe. Everybody wants to go and play ghetto until they get dropped off in the ghetto. Raise your hand if you ever done policing in the ghetto. It sucks. It's horrible. It's sad. And we can do better, America. But know this, these gifts of grace come from God. Mankind is not going to give you this. So if you want your little gift, which is your child, you need to carve out that time of grace on your knees, praying for your child, praying for yourself. I don't do it enough. I do it every day. But I fail at praying without ceasing sometimes. And I get it. Life is hard. You got to go to work. You got to go to family functions. You got to take the kid out and let him go play sports and all these other things that are now more or less just distractions from the woes of the world. But do not ignore the spiritual battle that is constantly inside of you. If you do, you are going to give ground to the enemy. And for that, this is what I have to say. No backwards step. Do not give one foot to the enemy. Long time ago, about 3,000 years ago, there were two Greek cities that are out in a battlefield, phalanx versus phalanx. So Greek hoplite shields, 8-footer spears, and short swords. Out in the scorching heat, both armies were interlocked, shield upon shield, pushing against each other. Two waves fighting back and forth for supremacy. And they pushed for hours, barely moving one phalanx or the other a foot or two, until eventually it was the Spartans that actually broke. And what happened is that, and I believe it was the, I forget which polis it was, might have been the Tegeats, but what ended up happening was after several hours of this scrum going back and forth, the other side said, on the blast of this horn, every man, give me one full step forward, and the line, the Spartan wall, will break. And it's recorded in history that they played the sound of the trumpets. The enemy force, every man, gave one big step forward, moving that huge concave bulbous shield, and they bellowed over the Spartan wall, and the phalanx broke. And there is not a more pitiful sight than a broken phalanx fleeing, being routed on the battlefield. That's the endurance that is called for as being a Christian, because you are always going to be struggling with your sin, the sin of your child, of your spouse, of yourself, and especially for all you warrior priests out there. You better be battling for your home and for your family. The fight is real. But if you enter the fray, come prepared. That's why I say, pick up your shield, put on your armor, and join the phalanx. If we as parents, if we as Americans, for one thing, but if we as parents do not find a way to take a stand against what's going on in this world, all you hee-haw kind of people that are out there, my detractors, the people who love to say all the derogatory things about me. If we don't learn to come together, the enemy will overcome us. Even though it is biblically based in prophecy that the Antichrist will be given power to overcome the saints. That's you and I, friend. Between now and that time, we still have to fight. There's still wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be ethnos versus ethnos. Kingdom versus kingdom. We're going to have famine and pestilence. I see a lot of people right now who are just kind of dazed and confused. I don't know if any of you else have felt like that. Dazed and confused in the things that are going on in this world. You are bombarded with the politics. You're bombarded with the war in Ukraine and all the other craziness that's happening in America one week after another. This is all meant to bog you down. So while you do pay attention to the news, while you do watch your sports and you try to relax, just remember that you need to be praying without ceasing as much as you can as well. All right. Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. Marks of the true Christian. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. When's the last time some of you tried that in the comment section on the American Vindictor Show? How many times have you tried to outdo one another in showing honor to each other instead of trying to tear each other down because of man-made doctrine or false doctrine? Or preaching about your idols that you send me their messages all the time. One of the things that I get a little sick of is when people want to quote man in a scriptural reference, but they don't want to quote the scripture. Currently, and we're going to get into this here in just a bit. Currently, I've been fatigued by thinking about this all day, but I have a problem with this word named Zionism. And a few prominent Christians, if that's the word I would even use for this, who love to use that word, I believe, a little too much. But we'll talk about that here in just a minute. Let's get back to the good word of God. All right. Outdo one another in showing honor. I'm going to start it. Every one of you, great. That's how I'm going to, I want everyone to try and outdo me with that. Tell somebody today, God loves them. I'm praying for you. Give somebody a compliment. Help somebody. Hold the door open for somebody. Don't be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. How many of you have gone through a trying time, a time of tribulation within your own life, and you found patience in it? There were times where, in my walk so far in my life, I've had to learn to be very patient, to bite my tongue, to not say a word, to be observant, to be present in the situation, but not to be an added stressor to the situation. Being patient in tribulation. I'm going to tell you something right now. Some of you are not going to be patient during tribulation. Either the tribulation with the Antichrist, or whatever great tribulation you may go through between here and there. Now listen, for all the pre-trib rapture people, spare me. I don't care. You can quote what you want to quote. But are you ready to meet Jesus today? Every single one of us should always be living to the point that we are ready to meet Jesus now, today. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Hospitality is one of those words that is, I would say, very lacking within the truther movement or the Christian movement. Look at the way the Democrats, the demagogues, the leftists, rally around one another. They rally around sin. They're okay with linking arms for sinful needs, to approve sinful-based policies, procedures, laws. But for us Christians, we love to tear one another down. You have the King James only people. Well, if you don't read King James only, you ain't reading the real Bible. Or if you don't read the Ethiopian Bible or the ESV, I've had people try to crucify me in an email because I dare to read an ESV Bible. It's coming to the point where nobody trusts anybody. You don't trust your government, obviously, but you don't even trust each other. Prophecy is being fulfilled, friends. You have apostate churches out there that have a million people who will come and sing and dance and get their blessing and walk right out. And then you have some people who say the name Jesus and are immediately corrected because you didn't say Yeshua. You're all splitting hairs. You all think you're right. You all want to have your own say. How many of you just sit down and shut up and read the Bible and accept the word for what it is? Or do you listen to the next podcast of your next favorite idealistic preacher? Yeah, I said that. Because some of you have made idols into your preachers. Some of you have made idols into the Christian podcaster or the TV show host. Some of you love to give me quotes as if you're quoting scripture from Rick Wiles. Spare me. I don't want to hear a word from man and his quotes over God's word. Give me God's word. I'll pray for discernment and I'll decide for myself what it means. If I can't figure it out, I'll go to my Strong's Concordance and I'll try to tear down the words from the Hebrew and the Greek. If I can't figure it out from there, I have a few friends of mine who are pastors who could assist me. Most of you should be living your life this way. Instead, some of you live your life based off of whatever view that is out there. That's dangerous. Be careful that you're not in an apostate religion, an apostate church yourself. Now, I'm sure I'll catch plenty of flack for that. That's all right. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. I will admit that I fail at this quite a bit. There are plenty of times when I get emails from people, like within the past couple days that I've gotten, because I don't believe in Zionism, or because I just, Doug, you're so close, but you're just not over the target. Or you know what, Doug? You must be part of it. You must be part of the Illuminati Zionist cult that runs the world because you speak too much truth, but you're not deplatformed. You don't have strikes against you. You're not demonetized. That's a recent email that I've gotten. Well, you know what's funny is I got a warning on YouTube after 1 week of putting the podcast on YouTube. I got a warning. About 2 months into being on YouTube, I got a strike. And about 3 months after that, I got another strike. And then I got another strike. And I don't know how it is. I got three strikes. One was within, I think, like 12 hours of the other. So I guess it canceled each other out. But for people who think that I'm on the take, that I'm on the payroll of the Illuminati, of whatever crazy rabbit hole you decided to run through today, whatever. If I was getting paid that type of money, why would I be sitting here talking to you? Why would I be sitting here telling people, stop sinning, give your life to Jesus Christ, and live a godly life based on the Ten Commandments and love one another, as the Master said. But that's not good enough for some of you. And that's your problem, not my problem, not our problem. But instead, what we have is we have an entire group of people that call themselves Christians who are so on the line of being apostate because they believe just enough to know what they're doing is wrong, but they know just enough to woo somebody over. Dangerous times that we live in. And I'm talking about pastors. Now, I'm not going to, you know, besides the Joel Olsteins and a few others that are out there, Keith Hoagland's and all that, I'm not going to say any other names, but you know who you are. You know who they are. Go there at your own peril. All right. Oh, yeah. Bless and do not curse them. Bless those who persecute you and bless and do not curse them. So I apologize for many of you that I have cursed under my breath as I'm reading your emails, especially some of you who claim to be Jesus Christ. Some of you who claim to be, what was it? Had one guy who said that he was the prophet of God and that he was a clone of Jesus. Do you think that the leftists get this type of stuff? Do you think somebody says, I'm the prophet of Satan and the clone of Satan as well? And then they get the same response, oh, whatever, crazy guy. I mean, as Christians, you would think that we would be reading our Bibles diligently. But there's, I'm telling you, because many of you right now listening to me don't. You don't read your Bible. But you love to send me scripture. There are plenty of people who love to send me scripture. And I mean like a storybook's worth of scripture and no explanation for any of it. I mean, I don't know how many can see this, but I get a healthy dose of it right here. When you have Christians who love to abuse the Word of God to get a one-up on somebody, to elevate themselves above someone else, we have a problem. And it needs to be rectified. That's why there's no leadership in the church. There's very, very few leaders that are godly men and women that are getting on to YouTube and Rumble and the airwaves, and they're actually calling out sin. Very few preachers, ministers, pastors. Pastor David Lankford, he's by far my favorite. I know who he's favored amongst many of you. He christened my son Magnus, many years ago. That's a good man. I listen to that man's word every chance I get, and I suggest that you do as well. And if you ever have any tithes, please send some to Pastor Lankford. That man is out there fighting the good fight the way that we should all be doing it. Imagine if we had 100 Pastor Lankfords reading from the Bible on air instead of me watching you film your dog run around in circles or a cat playing the piano or whatever stupid incident you did while you were dancing and your car was ghost driving itself and then it ran you over. I'll watch that video over and over again. But if we had a little more Bible and a little less stupidity, people that are so obsessed with themselves that they, and a lot of these videos, guys, I can't show you on YouTube because that will ban me. But the videos that I have seen that it's been sent to me by other law enforcement officers, rapes happening on trains, not a man intervening, but 20 of them filming. Beatings on the street from young people, beating elderly people. No one intervening, but everybody filming. Where is the testicular fortitude of Americans? Why isn't someone kicking that kid's teeth down his mouth? Or why isn't someone trying to tear the head off of a man who's trying to sexually assault a woman? Where are we in this day of age? Friends, we are in the day of lawlessness. Stop denying it. It's not going to get better. Donald Trump, even if he gets reelected again, is not going to make things better. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. When's the last time you saw empathy in this country? As a veteran, we have probably one of the largest suicide percentages of all people. We're taught to be tough. Don't talk about your emotions. If you're like me, you're a kid from the 80s and 90s. You didn't dare cry in front of your dad. You didn't voice concerns. Another thing that my dad used to always tell me was to get mean. That's what he always told me. Get mean, son. Someone knocks you down, get mean. You get up and you hit them right back in the face, and by God, you hit them to kill them. That's what my dad was telling me. Middle school football. I was watching old reruns of Dick Butkus trying to tear people in half. There's your motivation for football for this Friday. But we've built up such a haughty behavior, such a behavior of error in this country. We don't rejoice when we should be rejoicing. How many times have you wept with someone in your church, a pew next from you? And what that means is to go over there and to console somebody. Being moved by the Holy Spirit. Knowing their problems. I know many of you, probably most of you, have hugged a loved one who was crying and felt the need to cry yourself. That's okay. But for those of you who have been told crying is not okay, that's a false lie. Because God bottles up every single tear and it's stored in heaven. And don't you forget that. It is not manly, it is not unmanly to not cry. And don't walk around crying about every little thing, gents, right? Grow up. But if you need to hold your child because they're crying and you shed a little tear, that's okay. That's comfort. That's really what this is talking about. Weep with those who weep. Comfort each other. If only we could apply a little bit of what the Master taught us. If only we could apply a little bit of that brotherly love, that Philadelphia. If only we could apply a little bit of comfort, of weeping with those who need to be wept with. Then maybe men wouldn't have to dress the way I am now and come knock on doors or come and find violent felons. But instead, we have an entire culture This whole gangster culture, this bad guy culture, everything is about this macho, this fake macho-ness, by the way, fake alpha male, fake macho-ness. All right, let's move on. Live in harmony with one another. Yeah, America, when's the last time you tried that? Try it on the comment section first, please. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. I have some friends of mine. Some of you may even know, who are a little bit too haughty for their own good, who do not associate with the meek, but they seek stardom. That is a dangerous path to walk down, wanting to seek fame and fortune, wanting your fame and your face plastered everywhere. I certainly don't want that. It's half the reason why I do my show the way I do now, so that you only get a side profile of my face. Half of it is hidden by a baseball cap. Because this isn't about me and my pretty face. This is about the message. This is about the word. This is about the anger that God put in my heart a few years ago, and I cannot escape it. Because somebody has to call this out. Pastor Lankford's been doing it on his own for a long time, but that's a preacher. He needs to be talking about a lot of different things. But there's a few of you out there who have the gift. And you need to be calling out what you're seeing instead of hiding yourselves from it. And that doesn't mean you need to start your own podcast. That doesn't mean you need to get on YouTube and do it. Do it in your church first. You better be calling out that behavior amongst yourselves, amongst your family at home. How about calling out that behavior with yourself when you stare in the mirror in the morning and at night? Never be wise in your own sight. Oh man, don't I know a few of you? A little too wise in your own sight. You know everything. Nobody ever knows as much as you do. So let me email it. Let me send an entire book for you to read. Let me put it in the comment section so everybody can see how smart I am. Once again, if you have something of substance to give to the crew, to give to the Wrecker Nation, so that we can all learn, so that you could illuminate us to what it is that you're talking about, by all means, brighten the skies with your information. However, there's many of you who love to hear yourself talk. You love to hear yourself talk. You love to see your words taken over and over. You love to see those little thumbs going up. You love to see the replies and answer your replies. Has the message of God become about you, or has it been always about you? These are things that need to be called out in our society. And Christians, you better start with us first. We have a few narcissists that walk around. I know a few of them. You listening to me, listen to a few of them. So this is what I'll say to you once again. Be careful who you listen to. Even if you don't like listening to me, I'm not the greatest person in the world, guys. I'm not trying to be. I'm just trying to be a decent Christian over here. But I can tell you this much. I will never lead you astray. I will never give you anything that's not wrote in this book. In this book is everything. And everything is in it. And when I see people who use this book to make a revenue, who they use the Holy Bible to become multimillionaires, it boils my blood. And may the Lord raise a standard against them. That is not the meek that the master was talking about. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Live peaceably with all. When was the last time any of y'all went to New York, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, El Paso, San Antonio? Where are some of the other shitholes I've been in? Salt Lake City, Denver, Colorado Springs, Bozeman. Let me see, I could probably keep going. Oh yeah, Atlanta. What a lovely city. Miami. When you start going to all these democratically held bastions, tell me if people are out there living peaceably amongst each other. Go to Camden, New Jersey, if you want to see peace. And bring a loaded gun with you. How about Detroit? Peaceful city, huh? How about Chicago? That's really peaceful. Boston. Oh, yeah. Super peaceful. Kansas City. Murder capital of the United States right now. We are soft on crime as an American. We're soft on sin as Christians. And because of that, we are reaping the bountiful harvest of violence amongst your home, your children, your family, your city, your county, your state, west coast to east coast, north to south. America is filled with violence, loves violence. They abhor peace in this city called Washington, D.C. When do you see them suing for peace? When did they sue for peace when Black Lives Matter were marching up and down every street, threatening to burn down every business, especially if it was white? Or if it wasn't black. Oh, by the way, the people that were burning everything down were white. They trained those people in Portland, Oregon, by the way. All those people who went to those riots, who led the riots, who led the anarchy, they were trained in Portland, Oregon. And they were literally deployed forward throughout the country, paid for by law firms linked to the Democratic Party. Bought and paid for by George Soros. And at one point in time, gents, we had that information. I wonder why it never made any news. Why anything was never done about it. If only some of you knew some of the things that I did. We had the ability to stop half of what's going on. The other part of his prophecy, you can't stop it. You can stop yourself from being an idiot who voluntarily goes along with the rest of the crowd. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. That's something I think many of us patriots have something hard to swallow. Our pride, our need, our want to avenge our nation, to avenge the blood that's been spilt So I say to many of you, hold fast. Unless provoked, hold fast. Defend your land, defend yourself, defend your family and the innocent. But let God deal with this sinful world. Let God deal with this sinful nation, with this reprobate government, lest they move on you. Hold fast. God is in control. No matter how much you like it, no matter how much you think you can change it, your prayers do count. Pray. Use that first line of defense, which is going to the throne room, applying for that warrant with the best judge that ever lived, Jesus. And that warrant should be quite simple. As you fill out that affidavit in your memory, in your spirit, remember to apply the blood of Jesus to those of you who have hurt you, to those of you who have wanted so badly to act to save this country. Don't step into the Fowler's snare and get caught in his trap like everyone who showed up at January 6th. They still, I found out today, Joe Biggs, I believe, is still imprisoned. 2 years, 2.5 years maybe later, still imprisoned. And then there's been others who have died, who've passed away in prison. I'll never tell somebody not to go protest. I'll never tell anybody, don't go and take your First Amendment right and go and voice your concerns against the government. But be smart. You can do things from a distance. There are different ways you can bring your grievances. But when the entire crowd of people starts to show up, have a care. There's going to be a detractor somewhere in there. There's going to be someone, a wolf in sheep's clothing, who's there to bait you all. So be careful, because we're coming up to election season. There's going to be plenty of people who are going to be out protesting, who are going to be out marching. Situational awareness, gents and ladies. That is when terrorism strikes. That is when your active shooter strikes. Me personally, voice your concern. Cast your vote if you want. I believe now is the time to sit, monitor, and observe, and be ready to act. And as always, continue to train, prep, and pray. All right, let's finish this up. To the contrary, and this is probably a wise word to end on that we should all pray about. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what's going on in this crazy world, but I see that biblical prophecy is starting to come to life. And that means that there's mighty works that God is doing amongst us, around us, through us, using us. So be a conduit for Christ. Be in good cheer. God is in control. If God is with us, who can be against us? God wills what's going on right now. So, to all of you, Thank you for listening. I'll be back very soon with a few more videos. I need to get this out today for right now. Thank you for your prayers for my father. If you want to help donate, the American Vindicta Show does have a Give, Send, Go page. We also have a donation section that's on the website, www.AmericanVindictaShow.com. And if you want to email the show, AmericanVindictaShow@gmail.com. All this information is on the website. It's in the description box below whenever you go to watch these videos. And for all of you listening on the podcast, thank you for listening. Please share this message. Go out there, be a great person, be a great American, and represent the kingdom. You are an ambassador to heaven. That's all I got for you. Stay frosty. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.